Hello, and welcome to Chumbology, a Chumbawamba anthology podcast. On this podcast, we are digging song by song, album by album, through the discography of one of the most overlooked bands of all time, Chumbawamba. And it's here. It's finally here. The moment you've all been waiting for, the wrap-up episode for Anarchy.
Oof.
It's been close to 4 months at this point.
Yeah.
Over four months.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Time is fake.
It's a long album, and time is fake.
I was living in a different state when we started this album.
Yeah.
Both physically and in the state of mind. I have become Joker-fied since we began this album.
Hell yeah. Joker rage blaze up, baby.
Yeah. This was literally so we spent half of quarantine talking about this album.
Yeah, wow. That's well, okay, that's unreal in two ways. One, it's unreal that we spent half of quarantine talking about this album. And two, it's unreal that quarantine has been going for 8 months.
Yeah, it's almost like America is an absolutely failed state in every way possible.
Yeah, almost. Just about.
So yeah, on today's episode, we'll be going over Anarchy, talking about some other things that happened around the time, and setting up what we've got coming next, because we got a few things in the woodwork. Should be fun. Should be a good
time.
Yeah,
I'm excited. This has been a really cool album to do.
Yeah,
it's been fun. Right before we recorded today, I listened back to our most recent wrap-up episode, because I could not remember how to do one because I didn't remember what we did, and we don't have the notes for the most recent one. I was like, okay, let me just listen back to this and see what the structure of this thing is gonna be, because this is what, our fifth one. Yeah. I don't remember. Time is fake, as we've established. And I said about this album going into it that it is, like, the first Chumbawamba album I ever got into, besides Tub Thumping.
Same.
And I think that that is true for a lot of people who are into this band, because it is probably their most, like, commercially successful album besides Tub Thumper, right? So, like... And it was just cool because it was the one out of all of the ones we've done so far that I have the most familiarity with. And aside from Tub Thumper itself, probably the one in Chumbawamba's entire discography that I'm the most familiar with.
See, so my opinion is that people listen to this album second most after Tub Thumping. Because chances are, if you picked up Tub Thumping, like the actual album, is because you knew something about Chumbawamba being more than like a one-hit wonder, which probably means you're some sort of punk. And then you were like, well, I know this is an anarcho-punk band. What album should I start next? And then there's one called Anarchy, and you go, oh.
Well, there we go.
There we go.
This seems like an easy decision.
Yeah. It's like if you want to read something about like capitalism, you might as well read Das Kapital.
Yeah, right.
This is right there in the title. Marx was a capitalist. Yeah. He wrote a book about it.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Elon Musk, for that absolute brain dead take.
Yeah. Or do you want to talk about Tim Allen's tweets about Marxism while we're here?
I think that's like the funniest tweet ever made. Like it's perfect in so many ways. The obnoxious punctuation, the misspelling of Carl, just perfect in every way. You cannot come up with a funnier tweet if you tried. I could spend the next like decade of my life trying to write a funnier tweet than that, and I couldn't.
Yeah. Would you for anyone who missed it, the tweet that we're talking about is Tim Allen tweeted on November 13th at 4:27 in the afternoon on a Friday afternoon. Tim Allen tweeted, Karl Marx, Karl spelled with a C. Karl Marx, period. Communist Manifesto, period. Wikipedia. I really, like, what the fuck was he even, like, trying to say there?
I have no idea. Also, like, the Communist Manifesto maybe takes, like, an hour and a half to read if you're a slow reader.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a very deep or involved, like, book. So it's so funny that conservatives, instead of claiming to be like educated or like be like I've read it, they go, no, I've read the Wikipedia summary of this like book meant to be given to peasants like 200 years ago. I know what I'm talking about, you absolute brain dead dipshit.
I really like the tweet that he tweeted after that that said, "Oops, Carl."
Yeah, with oops, a K. All Carls.
Oops, all Carls. I am sure Mr. Marx would have made adjustments to his position had he been exposed to our country's advanced evolution of worker unions and our protection of child labor. One of you tweeted which Marx brother was Carl. I burst out laughing. Wished I had said that. He went on a little bit of a tweet storm. And then the next thing he said was, today, he tweeted a photo. Okay. Have you seen this photo that I'm about to describe? Have you been trolling Tim Allen's Twitter? Because if you haven't, don't. I'm going to tell you.
Describe it to me.
The tweet is a photo of a celebrity.
Okay.
And Tim Allen says, "Who do you think drove the faster car to last maybe standing set today?" Which is supposed to say, I assume, last man standing, which is that shitty sitcom he stars in right now. Which celebrity do you think is the one in the photo that Tim Allen posted?
Jack Black.
No. Do you want to guess two more? I'll give you three guesses.
Alec Baldwin.
No.
Margaret Stewart. That's not a real person.
I wish it was that person. It's Jay Leno.
That's a classic.
And it's pretty great seeing this photo of Jay Leno on the set of fucking Last Man Standing with Tim Allen. He appears to be playing a car mechanic, and in the photo standing behind him is someone who's like looks like part of the film crew, like a production assistant or something, wearing a face mask and one of those little visors that like protects you from oncoming spit, I guess. So it's like that's a pretty cool image that I'm looking at right here of Jay Leno pretending to be a mechanic while an actual working class person has to be like strapped up in all of this PPE just so that fucking CBS can make another season of Last Man Standing. That's wonderful. Cool.
Just what we needed. So my main connection to Tim Allen is that I'm in a Facebook group that was an actual like Tim Allen like fan group that got taken over by a bunch of leftists, and so everyone just posted it saying that he died, and all these like boomers get really mad. So the name of the group is currently Remembering the Last Standing Tool Man Tim Allen. The about of the group is, the group has recently learned of our sweet savior Tim Allen's untimely death and is devastated over the manner in which this beautiful man ended his life. In protest, we have collectively decided to turn far left in our beliefs and will now work on joining up with Antifa. No gods, no masters, only Tim Allen's memory.
Incredible.
And so it's probably like 30% like leftist like trolling in there, but there are still like people who I assume are boomers who are too stupid to figure out how to leave the group who post in there like once a month being like, you know, he's not dead yet, and everyone goes, no, he died, like, sorry about that, like.
You gotta start posting about how the deep state is covering up Tim Allen's death because he tweeted about Karl Marx.
Yeah, isn't there a conspiracy that Dwayne The Rock Johnson died and was replaced by a clone?
I'm pretty sure that's a
QAnon conspiracy, which is the funniest thing, because like if you're gonna pick anyone that you could like realistically like clone or have a body double of, it would not be The Rock. There are very few people who are built like The Rock,
right? I just want to wrap this very good discussion of different Twitter people up with I just want to read to you Tim Allen's Twitter bio. It says, Santa? Buzz Lightyear? The Tool Man? Mike Baxter? One of those four is not as iconic as the other three, I'm just going to say. Hey, I'm still that wisecracking kid from the Midwest, looking for answers to life's big questions. such as who drove the faster car to the Last Man Standing set, Tim Allen or Jay Leno?
That's what I've been thinking about all day, and I'm glad that we finally have some sort of I'm fucking brain dead. I can't think about Tim Allen anymore.
He posted two photos, one of Jay's car and one of his car, and the comments. The next time you're ready to read some just straight up boomer brain rot, go and read the replies to those tweets. It's fucking bleak.
I don't think I will. I like to watch the Santa Claus once a year and pretend that Tim Allen isn't just like an abhorrent human being. So
yeah,
I'll keep it that way.
He's just Santa. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just Santa. And if Santa's a bad person, I don't know what that says for the rest of Christianity.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't worship at the altar of Santa Claus, then what can you do in this country? Put the Christ back in Christmas, am I right?
Yeah. So on that topic, we're going to talk about some things that came out in 1994 about when this album was released. One of which is the Santa Claus.
Really?
Yeah, it came out November 11th, 1994.
The first Santa Claus movie is that old?
Yeah.
Jesus, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's a good segue then, I guess, to talk about...
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Talk about the year 1994. So Anarchy was released on April 25th, 1994, a nice springtime record. We actually have an actual release date for this one. If you remember, all the documentation we could find for Shush just said 1992. It didn't say any date, so we were just like, all right. In its original review on allmusic.com, hold on just a second, I have to pull this back up. I would just want to read the first sentence of the review from AllMusic for this album that says, "Guaranteed to disturb and delight, from the cover picture of a baby being born to the no punches pulled lyrics, Chumbawamba freely indulges in anarchy, which means life without rules, but quite strict discipline. And to make their case, they mix pop and politics, putting the iron fist, with its many pop culture references, inside the velvet glove of modern pop music."
Okay. Which,
yeah, that's kind of what they do. They got this, they hide these heavy subjects behind some poppy hooks. That was in a 3-star rating on allmusic.com. I always like to check in with the AllMusic rating for each of these Chumbawamba albums. And in the year 1994, I found a bunch. There's so many bands and artists that released music in 1994, including Jimmy Eat World released their self-titled debut album in 1994, which I had no fucking idea that band was that old.
Okay.
1994 was also the year Green Day released Dookie.
Nice.
Which was a pretty significant album in, like, I don't know what wave, but, like, you know, whatever new wave of, like, mainstream punk. That was a pretty significant album. There was the album Snuff the Punk by P.O.D. Illmatic by Nas came out, as well as Thug Life Volume 1, the only album by Tupac. Punkin' Drublick by NoFX, which I only bring up because apparently in the previous wrap-up episode, I spent like 15 minutes just talking about how I think Fat Mike is probably a bad person.
Yeah, he is.
And also, I fucking hate that album, and every time I see its title, I want to fucking throw a brick at my computer screen.
We also unfortunately had the release of Weezer's Blue self-titled album.
That was okay, so that was gonna be my whole bit. I was gonna read off like a bunch of bands that also released
I just wanted to talk shit about Weezer.
And I was gonna conclude it with me saying, and your favorite band ever, Teddy, released their debut album.
Look, I did my own research. I know that Weezer put out a shitty album in 1994 because they've only put out shitty albums.
That fact is unfortunately burned into my memory. Like, if you asked me to name 5 random albums that came out in 1994, unfortunately, Weezer's Blue album would be one of them.
I just want to say that it is absolutely shitty that we live in a world where Weezer is still making music and Chumbawamba isn't.
Yeah,
and I have to look at Reverse Cuomo's stupid ass face, like, not that often, but more often than I would like to.
Yeah, at least Weezer is like pretty commonly accepted as a joke, though. Like, yeah. I don't know how many people
to,
in the year 2020.
They're trying to lean into it, though, and I fucking hate it.
What?
They're trying to like lean into it.
Yeah,
like,
well,
they did the cover of Africa, like,
a very bad cover of Africa.
But people are like, oh, get it? It's like a meme, and it's like, I will fucking murder Reverse Cuomo with my bare hands.
In Minecraft.
In Minecraft.
Yeah. He's an avid Minecraft player.
Yeah.
You gotta go raid his server and just beat the shit out of him and steal all of his crops. Is that what you do in Minecraft? I've never played it. Some other bands that released albums in 1994 include another band I spent like 20 minutes talking shit about in the last wrap-up, Sublime.
Hell yeah.
Jawbreaker, Beastie Boys, Pavement, Willie Nelson, Beck, MC Hammer, Motley Crue, Pantera, Vanilla Ice, Pink Floyd, The Offspring, Dave Matthews Band, Jimmy Buffett, Two Live Crew, Aaliyah, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Hootie and the Blowfish, and Chumbology favorite 311.
Hell yeah. Good for 311.
On the exact same day that Chumbawamba released Anarchy, April 25th, 1994, we got Park Life by Blur and Santa Monica 72 by David Bowie. So I think we can safely say which English band or musician released the best album on that day in history. Yeah. Blur is okay, but David Bowie was a child molester.
Yeah, David Bowie can eat my ass.
Yeah. I also want to point out that Kenny G released a best of album and a holiday album.
Hell yeah.
Every time I think of Kenny G, I just get really happy.
1994, also a banger year for films.
Oh yeah, hit me with some.
Had Angels in the Outfield.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
The Street Fighter movie.
Oh, fuck. The Street Fighter movie. That's a good... That's a fucking perfect, like I want to get high and watch a shitty, like, action, like, bullshit movie. I love the Street Fighter movie.
There was also Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Very good.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay.
Ernest Goes to School. Clerks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the only good ones.
Those are some noteworthy yeah. movies.
Yeah. There are also like about... a lot of actual like good movies that came out, but they're not as funny to mention.
Yeah, right. it's more funny to mention Ernest Goes to School.
Yeah. Especially putting in the same breath as Pulp Fiction because
Ernest Goes to School is a better movie than works Pulp Fiction. Of cinema.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that.
I've never seen Ernest Goes to School, but I'll bet you it's a better movie.
I probably have. My neighbors growing up were obsessed with Ernest, and I feel like had all the movies. The only one that I have any sort of memory of is Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that one about?
It's like a Halloween one.
Oh, nice.
Where he gets scared stupid. As
that sounds
was,
fucking sick.
Because he was very smart to begin with. 1994 was when Tanya Harding won the figure skate championship title, but was stripped of her title after attacking her rival, Nancy Kerrigan.
Damn. Which,
if you have not seen I, Tanya, very good movie. Definitely recommend it.
That is a good movie. That is one of the wildest things that's ever happened in, like, Olympic sports.
Yeah.
The 1994 United States elections were some fucking boring-ass midterm elections where, like, Bill Clinton had been in office for 2 years and hadn't done anything, and apparently it was like a quote-unquote Republican revolution because they took control of Congress and the Senate, and who fucking cares? History repeats itself.
Yeah. Also, it was the year that Netscape Navigator was released, one of the first successful web browsers. And I know we have mentioned it on this show before, but its success was eventually like kiboshed by Internet Explorer due to Bill Gates bundling Internet Explorer with operating systems, which was deemed illegal by anti-monopoly laws. But he kept doing it, and now we don't have as much competition in software development. It's all Bill Gates' fault.
Yeah. I was trying to find a noteworthy, like, political event. So, like, last time we talked about the time that George H.W. Bush puked on the Prime Minister of Japan's lap and then fainted. I was trying to find something like that, but on a Wikipedia page called... a Wikipedia category called November 1994 Events in the United States, the first one that caught my eyes was WWF's Survivor Series 1994, in which The Undertaker defeated Yokozuna in a casket match.
Hell yeah.
Do you want to... I will give you one guess to determine who the celebrity guest referee for that match was.
Was it Donald Trump?
No, it was Chuck Norris. If that's not the most fucking 1994 sentence you've ever heard. Oh man, I should go watch that match.
Yeah. 1994 was also the year that the first genetically engineered tomatoes were available.
So, ooh.
If you're eating a gross-ass tomato, it's all 1994's fault.
Yeah.
This is an anti-GMO podcast.
Yeah.
Just kidding. You wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for GMOs.
That's correct. I am a GMO, man. Yeah. That's what I call myself whenever I smoke that good kush.
I'm a KMO, a kush-modified organism. I guess I could have said GMO and said ganja, but...
No, I like KMO better.
So yeah.
Let's see. Oh, good. There was a small like airplane crash in 1994. Why is there a Wikipedia page about this? Why does there need to be a Wikipedia page about every single time an airplane has crashed? I don't know. It doesn't seem important enough to me.
Malcolm X's daughter was arrested for plotting Louis Farkham's murder. So ooh. Good for her. I don't know who Louis Farkham is, but he probably deserves it.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, so 1994 sounds like it was an interesting year.
Yeah.
Lots of music released.
We were 2 years old for it.
Well, we were 2 years old. I was only in April of 1994. I was only 1 year old still.
Same.
Well, like. Yeah, very good. We were but infants, still unaware of the cruelties of the world and the one thing that will cure the pain of modern existence, that is listening to Chumbawamba. We had not yet been exposed to the never-ending pain of being, nor the salvation from that pain. All right,
yeah.
So... You want to take us over to some listener feedback for this album?
Yeah. So we did receive a very nice email at this point, a little bit over a month ago, from our good friend Jerry, who said, "Hey guys, just started listening to the show, up to episode 3 now. I just wanted to throw a line out and say that I'm enjoying it immensely. Not only is there some great theory and analysis of Chumbawamba's lyrics, but also throwing in a little crass knowledge in there, something I must absolutely respect you for, as it seems the message of anarcho-punk is dying out slowly. I am super excited to play catch-up as I am loving both the discussion of the band's content as well as the political discourse. I can't even imagine what's going to be coming up once I get into the more recent months." So thank you for that, Jerry. Jerry also hosts a podcast called Mouse Rants, where they delve into the Disney fandom and analyze it from like a left-wing perspective.
Hell yeah.
So that sounds real cool. We'll hopefully do a little something with Jerry later on. They want to do something for the Disney themed track that Chumbawamba has a little bit later on, so watch this space. Hopefully we'll have Jerry on. We did also receive a very nice message from Dan's alter ego, who is also a streamer who likes Chumbawamba.
Who found me through streaming independently of knowing about the podcast. And then they found the podcast. And when they went to look into it, they found my Twitter and was like, "Wait a minute."
Yeah. So like, small damn. World. So thank you
world.
For all the nice words of Foxicity on Twitter. And they sent us the liner notes for this album and the upcoming one. So we'll have to discuss that without having to have me buy them on Discogs, because I am unemployed and can no longer afford to spend $60 on vinyl from obscure fucking European countries.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Yes, thank you so much for that. That's very generous. I really liked looking through the photos of the vinyl for Anarchy on here, including well, Teddy. Maybe if you want to read it, there's a little bit of prelude before the lyrics of each song in the like album sleeve, and like a little bit of context for what the song is about. And Teddy, do you want to read the one for "Give the Anarchist a Cigarette"?
Yeah. So this says, when the artist paints what the public demands, it is not art but business, from Charles E. Spreading, in which our hero and his manager ride through London on the back of a stretch limo as press agents, A&R flunkies, and professional hanger-ons lick the car windows from outside, discovering that the icy cold British weather has attached them tongue-first to the star's car, watches Albert burns them off with a ciggy in true medieval quack doctor style. Wealth, politics, and embassy king size. We have always suspected kings were small. So that's the intro to Give the Anarchist a Cigarette.
That's fucking sick.
And I do just want to point out, this is from the CD release of Anarchy, not the vinyl.
Oh, it's
not
a
that
CD.
That super
gotcha.
Matters, but just for gotcha. Someone who's out there and is like, I have the vinyl version Anarchy. It does not say that. Y'all are fake. We are not fake. We are
fake Chumbawamba fans.
We are fake Chumbawamba fans. This has all been a ruse. We're only using it to get all that good Chumbology bussy.
I really like the one before Time Bomb that quotes "come together right now" from John Lennon and then says, remembering the delight, fear, joy, panic, and excitement in Trafalgar Square during the poll tax riot and in post-Rodney King verdict San Francisco. You had to be there. You will be. Which, that, when I first read that, I was like, damn, like, they're right that we will be there with, you know, thinking about the past, how long's it been, 6 months almost since George Floyd was murdered, and like all of the civil unrest and protests that sprang up around that. It's like, yeah, this is just the same shit that keeps happening and the same responses that keep happening, you know. So that line right there, you had to be there, you will be, just like really jumped out at me this time.
Hell yeah. I like the little one that's before Mouthful of Shit. It's a lot shorter than most of the other ones.
Yes.
It just says, rock and roll politicians, more exciting flavors for the same old piss. I really like the idea of flavored piss. I feel like that's something that if capitalism keeps going, we could eventually get.
Yeah. That's good that they seemed to find a balance between, like, Mouthful of Shit is a song with a lot of lyrics in it. So just keeping it simple right at the front there is good.
I mean, there are some songs where the prelude is longer than the song itself, like Heaven Hell.
Yeah.
There's like a multi like sentence like description, and then the very short lyrics to Heaven Hell.
Right.
There's also some sick of pictures of Danbert in here. Bald Danbert.
Yeah. There's some cool pictures of the band in general, just like each of them like has like a headshot or like some kind of photo showing them off that I really like. And there's the one photo of it must be Danbert because it's a bald person on the very back of the album, of just like their head against like the rose background, which I feel like is the same like flower painting that is on like the alternate album art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We should ask our new friend, the alternate reality me, if they're cool with us like putting this link to Drive in our show notes or something.
Hell yeah.
Because I feel like this would be a really cool thing for people to see.
Yeah. It's nice. It, like, we talked about it before when we were talking about, probably on one of the wrap-up episodes, but that the downside of everything being on streaming is that you kind of lose the ability to have these like multimedia packages alongside them. And there are bands that are doing it nowadays where they'll have like an accompanying website or like an AR like experience or something like that. But for older albums, you kind of miss out on this sort of thing until someone like our good friend here takes the time to digitize them.
Yeah.
I also do want to point out that according to this, it says the copyright in the sound recording is owned by One Little Indian Records. So that is false. The copyright is actually owned by me. So everything you hear in this is legal property of me.
Right. I just want to read, I just learned something new by looking at these album notes here. For the song Rage, the last song on the album, it begins with the phrase, "It's not over till the end." And then a quote. "The young doctor who told me this morning I was a carrier of the AIDS virus was visibly distressed. I smiled and told her not to worry. I had never liked Christmas." And that's from someone named Derek Jarman on the 22nd of December, 1986. And then the quote before the song goes on to say, "Respect to fighters, and especially here to the people who put together Diseased Pariah News. Two parts gallows humor and one part righteous anger. This magazine, written by and for people who are HIV positive, proves that life doesn't end with diagnosis. Diseased Pariah News, Fog Press, care of Men's Support Center, P.O. Box 30564, Oakland, California, 94604 USA.
Hell yeah.
That's... I did not realize that that was, like, the context of the song whatsoever, which is just kind of... really kind of fascinating and heartbreaking that, like, it's a song about, like, all of the rage surrounding the AIDS epidemic and, like, the mishandling of it by public health agencies. And that's a really interesting piece of history, that just learning about this this magazine called Diseased Pariah News that was, like, basically, like, kind of a support system, it seems like, for people who were HIV positive.
Hell yeah. I like that it does give, like, a P.O. box that you can, like, write to, I assume, to get this magazine. They do drop another P.O. box before the track Enough is Enough. The quote is very short. It says, "We should pity rather than fear them. Bullock's anti-fascist action are at," and then it's BM1734 London WCLN3XX, which I assume is a postal code for London, which sounds like absolute gibberish.
Yeah.
So it's really cool seeing that we talked about it because they did this on earlier albums that we were lucky enough to have physical copies of, but that they do like the 1980s, 1990s version of, like, what we do by including links to, like, different organizations in our show notes by being like, "Hey, you cared enough about our band to buy this and look through the thing. Here are some PO boxes that you can reach out to for more information on anti-fascist action, for like a zine written about, like, the AIDS pandemic by, like, AIDS survivors or people struggling with it." So that's really cool. It's a very Chumbawamba move.
It's pretty awesome. I like you were saying, I feel like this is something that we miss out on by not having physical copies of albums as frequently anymore. So I kind of want to see if we can, you know, our new friend, our new Chumbaholic friend, was able to so kindly provide us with photos of the album booklets for this and the next album.
Yes, they do have all of the albums and said that they can provide us as many as we need.
That's awesome.
I just specifically requested this one and the next one. So
that's really cool.
Send me every photo. So once again, that was our friend, they go by Nim, and they're at on Twitter if you want to give them a follow for helping us out. It's Foxicity, which is FOXICITY _.
So, yeah.
Thank you again. This was kind of a last minute edition of the show, but I feel like it really helped us out.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And they're also a speedrunner on twitch.tv, which is, you know, my nerd shit. So all right. So I think that's really cool. I'm going to spend some time, like, really looking through these photos soon, because, like, there's just so much good shit in here. But would you, Teddy, like to move on to the fabled section of the wrap-up episodes in which we rank all of the tracks on the album?
Yeah.
I don't know why I said fabled. It's not like it's not like it's false. It's not like it's an urban legend or anything.
Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
You know what? I'll go first. I think. Okay. Let's do that.
Okay.
So, like we said, there are 15 songs on the album, and before I give my ranking, I want to say this was really hard.
Yeah.
Because
there are a lot of fucking bangers on this album.
I like every song on this album, and the only thing that made me really easily able to make a ranking at all was the fact that there is a distinction between the songs on this album that I like and the ones that I love, that are, like, some of my favorite Chumbawamba songs, and in some cases just some of my favorite songs, period.
Hell yeah.
So starting at number 15, I've got Blackpool Rock. And 14, I've got Doe. 13, Never Do What You Are Told. 12, On Being Pushed. And 11, Rage. Which is just kind of like the first five are, like, the short ones, the album, like, kind of like the ones that kind of stitch different pieces of the album together. Not bad songs, just, like, not something that I'm going to, like, throw on, like to jam out to. And then my top, my next 10 are at number 10, I've got Georgina. At number 9, I've got Love Me. At 8, Homophobia. 7, Heaven Hell. 6, This Year's Thing. 5, Give the Anarchist a Cigarette. 4, Bad Dog. 3, Mouthful of Shit. 2, Enough is Enough. And number 1 is Time Bomb.
Hell yeah.
And again, it's like, especially those top 5, it was like really hard for me to like decide which order they were going to be in. Because like, I look at this list and I see Give the Anarchist a Cigarette at number 5. And I'm like, that's like way too high. That song should be like number 2. But then I look at the next 4 that are like on the list, you know, Bad Dog with that fucking sick ass synth line, Mouthful of Shit and Enough is Enough and Time Bomb are like some of my favorite songs. So it's like, yeah, Give the Anarchist on any other album, Give the Anarchist a Cigarette would probably be like number 1 for me. But like, it's just a testament to how good pretty much every song on this album is.
Yeah.
I mean, what about you, Teddy? What's
your preface? We preface it the same way that basically like a bad song on a Chumbawamba album is still a great song and is still better than most. But so my ranking coming in at number 15 is same as you, Blackpool Rock. Mostly because now I associate it with candy and it sounds disgusting.
Disgusting candy.
Yeah. After that we have On Being Pushed, Doe, Rage, and then Homophobia. I did rank Never Do What You Were Told above Homophobia. Really don't like the album version of Homophobia, and I love that little bop in Never Do What You Were Told.
That's yeah.
After that I have Heaven Hell. Followed by Bad Dog, followed by Georgina, followed by This Year's Thing. And then Love Me, Enough is Enough, Time Bomb, Mouthful of Shit, and Give the Anarchist a Cigarette.
Hell
and
yeah.
Once again, it's the same thing where basically the top five or so are on a different day, I might have ranked them differently because they're all like 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 songs. Just Give the Anarchist a Cigarette holds a special spot in my heart.
Of course, yeah.
Because it is one of the first Chumbawamba songs that I ever fell in love with and the one that I have tattooed on me. So it would be weird if I didn't rank it number one.
So what were your top three?
My top three are Time Bomb, Mouthful of Shit, and Give the Anarchist a Cigarette.
Gotcha. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's like, and I guess this kind of leads us to like directly into like the final thoughts we have on this album. Like, I cannot in any way like really sum up how much I love this album.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just start to finish, it's good. There are some parts that are like a little bit of dips. But for the most part, like the baseline quality, like the worst the album gets is still very, very, very good.
Yeah. And I mean, even the songs that don't stand out on their own, like Doe or On Being Pushed, still hold a very valuable spot in
absolutely
like breaking up the album instead of it being like hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
It kind of takes you into like a little goofier of a headspace for a little bit.
Yeah. And like without like those five shorter songs, this album would be like 10 songs. It would only be 10 songs long, which would be fine. Like, there are plenty of great albums that are only 10 or even fewer songs, but like, it would just be a completely different album from start to finish, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that those shorter songs really do help, like, make it a more complete package.
Yeah, definitely. It really helps to pad out the album and, I mean, pad out sounds like it's like filler, but it's not. It gives the album a better sense of like the, oh God, it gives the album that feel that they were going for, where it's kind of like the TV change or the radio change, like dial, where some of these shorter songs kind of act like something like if you were flipping through a channel, it's something that you would hold on to for like a minute and then switch over to something more substantial. But it doesn't mean that it's like a bad thing or that it's an invaluable like use of time on the record.
Absolutely.
Like, I wouldn't remove any of those songs. Except I would swap out Homophobia for the single version. That
like, I can
if,
see that.
If I could make like one change to this record, or if I was a record exec and like Chumbawamba came to me and they wouldn't take that feedback as an answer, I would make them put Homophobia later on the album, because I think having it at what, track 3, it kind of does dampen the album a little bit earlier than I would like to have the album be dampened.
Yeah. It feels like it does feel like it would be a song that would be a little better like as a break in the middle of the album,
like sometime like track 7 or 8 to kind of like give you a breather instead of having like two back-to-back bangers and then this like weird like 3-4 like romp.
Yeah. But, you know, that being said, I still think Homophobia is still, like, a decent song, like, in its current state. Like, it's certainly not something that I, like, suffer when I listen to, you know? So, like, even if that's, like, one of the worst, if that's, like, one of the moments on the album that works the least, I think that speaks to how good the album is overall, you know?
Yeah.
So, the age-old question comes up then. Do you think this would make a good first Chumbawamba album?
I think so. I think that if I had to recommend a Chumbawamba album to people that was not Tub Thumper, it would be this one.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if someone was into folk music, I would maybe recommend them something later on. And there are obviously cases where I would be like, no, you have to listen to, like, this earlier album. But, like, just to, like, if I had to, like, pick a random person on the street and be like, you have to listen to a Chumbawamba album, it would be this one.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's like, it's one of their best albums. It's one of their most complete albums. I think it covers a lot of different ground that is like what the band does best. Like, it has pop moments, it has punk moments, it has moments with crazy synthesizers, it has moments of like of more like stripped down folksy stuff. It covers a lot of different ground in terms of genres. There's a lot of good musicianship on it. There's a lot of great vocals on it. There's a lot of great lyrics on it. I think, like, if you're looking for an hour-long primer of what Chumbawamba was all about as a band, there really isn't a better place to start than Anarchy. You know, there are other albums that I would recommend if I was talking to someone with, like, a specific interest. Like a folk person or like someone who's into like heavier punk, I might steer them in other directions. But if you're just talking about like generally speaking, I think there's no better place to start.
I think that the lyrics on this album are also really accessible. Like there are some points, I mean, Chumbawamba does get incredibly into like weird like metaphors and things like that. And they do that on this album. There are definitely plenty of songs that you could spend decades like analyzing. Like the fact that we just figured out or were able to see Rage through a new lens after like reading the booklet. But for the most part, there are like songs on this album that are incredibly explicit about what they're saying. Like it's kind of hard to misinterpret like Mouthful of Shit. And so if you're a person like with like any sort of like left or liberal leaning politics, you could listen to this and be like, oh yeah, that's what this band is singing about. They're singing about how much they fucking hate politicians or like fake anarchists or like any of these things that are like incredibly easy to like it's not surface feels like an insult, but it is like a little surface sometimes in the lyricism, which I think works. I mean, it's annoying when like a band, like someone will tell you like this is a punk band, and you listen to the lyrics and you're like, I have no idea what they're fucking talking about.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you have to read these like 8 books in order to understand the lyrics, and it's like, I don't want to do that. I want to yell about like a politician's mouth being full of shit. Like.
Yeah. So, I think if you are someone who has never listened to a Chumbawamba album before, somehow, and you're listening to this podcast. start with Anarchy.
Yeah.
I know that the name of the if you're not already an anarchist, the name of the album combined with the photo of a child being born on the cover might scare some people away, but dive in. It's one of the best albums I've ever listened to. It's you know, and I don't say that lightly because I think a lot of music is bad.
Yeah.
You know.
Same.
And like for me on a personal level, like knowing that this is an album that I first listened to when I was, I don't know, like 17, 18 years old. I first heard some selected songs off of this album when I was even younger than that. The fact that a decade later I still listen to this album and think that it's full of bangers is saying something. It hasn't lost its effect on me.
Yeah, nice.
So listen to Anarchy. Tell your local politician that their mouth is full of shit. And, beat up Rivers Cuomo in Minecraft. That's my final thoughts on Anarchy.
Mine are about the same. Solid album all the way through. One of my favorites, if not my favorite Chumbawamba album.
Yeah.
You want to dive into what we've got coming up?
Yeah, I would love to. So, what's next? In the immediate future, we're going to be moving on to Chumbawamba's 7th studio album, Swingin' with Raymond. Which is going to be interesting because I think I've listened to this album once. There are a couple songs on it that I know better than others. Like, I know the song This Girl, and I know the song Ugh, Your Ugly Houses, but everything else on the album, I think, is going to be pretty foreign territory for me. So I'm looking forward to that, seeing whether or not it's an album that clicks with me or not.
Yeah, this also is probably the Chumbawamba album that I know the least of, at least before we started doing this podcast. I think I'd only maybe listened to it once or twice. I have listened to it a few times since then, but it's going to be... I have a lot less connection to it than I do Anarchy or...
Yes, same here. So, something that's going to be interesting about this album, you know, just as a little preview, is that it's intentionally split in half stylistically. It's 13 tracks long, and the first six are on one side of the album called Love It, and they're all like folk-ish songs with acoustic instruments and just Lou Watts singing. And then the second half of the album is called Hate It, which features all the other vocalists and, you know, more punk stuff, and it should be interesting, like, just kind of, like, analyzing it as a whole album, because it's, like, so intentionally stylistically different between the two sides of it.
Yeah. It should also be noted that we are skipping over Show Business for now, the live album. We'll get to that eventually, but pretty much every song on that album is something we've already discussed.
Yes.
With the exception of, I think there are two B-sides from the Homophobia single that they do sing on that one.
Yeah.
That we'll get to eventually, but we're sticking to just the main studio albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of studio albums, we're going to begin, as of today, the day we are recording this, November 16th, 2020, we're going to begin looking forward just a tiny little bit towards the next studio album after Swingin' with Raymond, which is Tub Thumper. When we started this podcast, we were like, oh, it's so far away, like, that's going to be a few years from now, and we're in the, like, stretch of songs that are going to lead us to the song Tub Thumping, which is probably going to be, like, you know, one of our wildest episodes, because I don't know about you, Teddy, I've had tons of ideas for stuff we're going to do on that episode. We don't need to get into any of them just yet.
I think my one idea that I will pitch to you now is that I think we should do a live telethon call-in show.
Oh my god, that would be fucking sick.
Just me and you. Hopefully by March of 2021, the world will be better. We put me and you in a room on camera with a big novelty telephone and have people call in to talk to us about Tub Thumper.
That would be incredible. We are going to have to start planning for things like that because it's going to be an extravaganza, y'all.
Yeah.
We're
popping bottles.
As of today, November 16th, 2020. It'll be, what, the 19th by the time this is posted? As of today, the day of recording, we will be posting our Tub Thumping episode on March 3rd, 2021, which is 107 days from the day of recording this. So, mark your calendars and
start your Google alerts.
Yeah.
Be ready.
We are going to hit this thing big. And one of the things that we're prepared to reveal to you all that we're doing is, Teddy, do you want to tell them about the compilation album we're putting together?
So Dan and I have been tossing around the idea of putting together a compilation of Chumbawamba tracks for a while now. And it's kind of hard when most of your audience for the show does not actually listen to Chumbawamba, or at least not to the same degree that we do. So we tossed around the idea of doing, like, with each album, should we do a comp? Should we do a comp every three albums? And finally, we decided on what we thought would be the funniest way to do it, which would be that we want to put out a compilation album exclusively of people covering Tub Thumping.
Yes.
That will be released sometime in March to coincide with the Tub Thumping episode release.
Yeah.
We have just found out that another musical podcast did a similar idea. The Blink 155 podcast did this, where they had a bunch of different artists covering Damn It. I have never listened to that podcast. I promise we didn't steal their idea. There are just only so many unique ideas in this world. So please don't hate us for this. We think it'll be funny. So if you want to be a part of that, if you are, make any sort of music, whether it's an acoustic cover, whether you make beats, whether you're a rapper, anything like that, we'd love to have your take on Tub Thumping. We'll put out more information on this in the future. But if you are urgent and want to get a head start, you can send us an email at chimbologypod@gmail.com. And we'll fill you in on the details, but we will probably be posting a little bit more information on that on our socials within the next like 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And I can't emphasize enough how simple of a song Tub Thumping is to play. Like, if you are like someone who isn't confident about your ability to play music, like, I especially want to hear from you, because like, you just fucking do it and we'll put it out, and it's going to be a big celebration of like one of the silliest songs like ever and like one of the best bands. So and that's you know, we were not good at making podcasts when we first started doing this, and we might still not be good at it, but we still do it anyway because it's a lot of fun. And I'm really looking forward to this, and you can expect me and Teddy, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm pretty sure you are also planning to contribute a cover.
Oh, I already got something in the works.
Hell yes, I can't wait. So, watch this space, as they say, for the countdown to Tub Thumping, the Tub Thumping compilation. And starting next week, we're going to be talking about Chumbawamba's seventh studio album, Swinging with Raymond, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
So, so rats off to anarchy. It's Raymond's time now.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like so long since we've talked about any other Chumbawamba album that it's almost going to be weird, but I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
Rats off to anarchy, fucking fantastic album. It will continue to be in the heavy rotation for me for probably years to come.
Hell yeah.
On that note, I think all we've got left to do is say thank you so much for listening to Chumbology, a Chumbawamba anthology podcast. The music you heard in this episode were whichever songs Teddy ends up picking while they're editing from Chumbawamba's album Anarchy. And hey, breaking news, according to Teddy, we do have the rights to it.
We do own all the rights to this. If your only way of telling me what like the rights of the song belong to are a P.O. box, P.O. boxes aren't real anymore. I own the rights now. Listen, I'm the captain.
P.O. boxes, they got outlawed in the 90s. Yeah,
not real anymore. if you like what we do, you can find more of us at our website, which is chimbology.rocks. Find us on Twitter at chimbologyrocks, or you can shoot us an email at chimbologypod@gmail.com. We do also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/chimbology. If you wish to throw us a few dollars a month to get a bunch of bonus episodes where we talk about other bands and help us keep doing this dumb shit for a little while longer. I do also want to plug that I was on a Garfield-themed podcast, Garfcast, this week. The episode went live today. You can find them on Spotify, and I assume other podcasting apps and shit like that. But just look up Garfcast, all one word, and you can hear me talk about the internet video series Lasagna Cat.
I am so excited to listen to that.
If you are not familiar with Lasagna Cat, peep the episode or just go on YouTube, type in Lasagna Cat, and have a fun next few hours watching some absurdist Garfield content.
All right, I think that about does it for us this time.
Hell yeah.
On Chumbology.
Yeah, stay safe out there, babies.
Yeah, bye-bye, y'all.